Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. Yes, indeed, there is power in the union. And look, as I'm looking at this shutdown, the shutdown that happened, the fact that another one isn't going to happen, I give credit to union members across this country and working people who stood up and gave Democrats the backbone, the spine, the stones, however you want to frame it, to stand up to Trump, to stand up to the Republicans and demand that our government not be shut down and our federal workers not be used as pawns. Look, I love Nancy Pelosi. Good on her for you know, pushing and all of that. But it was the working people who gave her the backbone to do it, I think. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on today's news of, yes, there will be a signed piece of legislation, but there's also going to be a national emergency evidently declared. We'll see how that plays out. That's why I've asked Phil Glover to come talk with us. He's the American Federation of Government Employees, District 3 National Vice President. Phil, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, Rick, appreciate it very much.
So, I guess this is a win. This is a pretty sizable win. A little bit of money for the barrier, but not what Trump wanted, and he's not happy about it.
Well, he's certainly not getting the 2,100 square foot wall in concrete across the South barrier. I mean, that's for sure. The we're satisfied that our people, you know, will get paid, and it'll finish out the 2019 funding. I mean, certainly, I am waiting, though. I have not seen where he actually has signed the legislation yet. We know it just passed the House. I did get told that.
Yes.
Passed the Senate earlier, but I haven't heard that he actually put his signature on it yet.
Yeah, that could be tomorrow's change.
Well, it could be if Limbaugh calls him, then maybe, you know, you don't know. I mean, I just, you know, but we're always bracing for with him for, you know, the unexpected.
Yeah, or the worst. And the worst and unexpected. But, you know, I look at this and I heard a lot of people saying, well, you know, your members, they just got free vacation and all of this stuff. As I understand it, still not all of our federal employees are current in their paycheck. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. We have some census workers that still now keep in mind, these are the people that were working without pay.
Right.
So, I mean, these people have still not been paid. We have meat inspectors across the state of Pennsylvania that some of them are still waiting on paychecks, and into Delaware, we have a lot of chicken plants, pork, you know, meat inspection. That, you know, that's your food safety, and they're still not paid. This is coming into 2 months now, so yeah, we're very concerned. We actually have House committees now calling the agency asking why it's taking them so long to fix that.
Yeah, well, they could just go take out a loan from the bank or negotiate with the grocery store, right?
Yeah, according to Wilbur, commerce director or whatever, he, you know, Mr. Billionaire. Yeah, you can just go to a bank and get a loan when you have no income coming in. I don't know of any bank that really does that, but hey, you know, maybe
They could borrow against their vast holdings in whatever corporation they have stock in.
And I'm really trying, Rick, tonight not to be sarcastic. I'm just to the point where I just, you know, you just don't know with this administration what's going to come out of their mouth next.
Well, I mean, the one that got me and I started today off with is evidently the wall that they're building is going to be so huge and so big, it would be easier to climb Mount Everest.
I don't know. I don't know where he gets his stuff. I wish they would run a drone along the border, you know, and just explain to people, you know, like what is going on down there. I'm not saying that our border agents, and we have, you know, Border Patrol agents that are in our union, and we've talked to them, and they need some border barriers in different places, and right, we support that. But also, you know, Trump promised them in January of 2017 that he would get them 5,000 new agents because they also need, you know, bodies. And they're not even close to that. They haven't – I don't think they've put on 1,000 agents since Trump has been the president.
And to me, this is where you go, there are things we should be doing. That's part of it. We should be inspecting more things that come into our ports. You know, the fact that, you know, and the shipping containers that come in, we inspect less than 1% of the shipping containers that come into this country. If you really right, wanted to stop drugs coming in, there's a good place to start. And I point out every time I get the chance, you know, when Trump went down to the border after the shutdown began, you know, they had big piles of drugs and all of this stuff. And all of the stuff that they had were confiscated at legal ports of entry. They didn't catch them on the backs of somebody with cantaloupe calves running across the desert. These are people. These came in on trucks. These came in on trains. These came in on planes. Duh. That's where you should be spending your resource.
You know, just look at the large fentanyl bust that occurred in the port of Philadelphia. You're not putting a wall around Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And, you know, that came through the port system. So, you know, and then you're not paying your Coast Guard. So that's another problem. You have the Coast Guard out there patrolling our waters, and they weren't getting paid. And I still don't know if they've gotten all their paychecks yet. But it's just another thing where, you know, you're not looking at the details. He uses these bumper sticker mentality things and gets people all, you know, ginned up over things. And hopefully, you know, the majority of the American people understand that this was nothing more than him trying to stay in the news in his own way.
Yeah.
And that's what he likes to do.
You know, one of the things that I tell people, you know, the reason that we're hearing the stories that of the workers who are struggling, the reason we're still hearing that these workers haven't been made whole is because they're represented by you guys, they're represented by a union. And, you know, I've often said if without the union, we'd never hear these stories. You wouldn't hear anything about it. And this stuff would just happen to people. And there would be almost no recourse, which is why I think, look, this is one of those moments where I got to think recruiting has got to be up for you guys.
Well, I think if we could get back on our work sites, yes, we will be, you know, certainly recruiting based on this latest action. Also, the House and Senate were able to put in a 1.9% increase to pay, which he had frozen pay. He had put a freeze on our pay for this year. And so the federal workforce will get a 1.9 based on what the House and Senate just passed.
Right.
So that was something, too, that our members, you know, were told not to expect because of what he had done previously in the year.
Now, 1.9 isn't all that great, but it's better than what you got, I guess, last year and the year before, at least I think, right?
Well, it's certainly, yeah. I mean, it's certainly better than flat. He keeps coming out with this idea that the American economy is the best ever in history of the world ever. And so why would you freeze federal employee pay if the economy is the best it's ever been? You know, that's the time to give your employees a raise, right? If you're in a company or whatever, when you're doing well, you give the employees something. And so we're happy to see that the House and Senate pushed that through today.
Yeah.
Because it was we weren't sure how that was going to go.
You know, one of the things that's come out of this, at least in my opinion, maybe you can agree or not, one of the good things that has come out of this, and I know your members were struggling, and I know they're suffering, and I know there's too much pain, but I think there's been a moment where people are looking at you know, the faces of federal workers and identifying with them and going, you know what, they're kind of in the same situation we're in. Because for a long time we've heard, you know, the federal, they get golden parachute, pensions, and they've got Cadillac health care, and you know they make all this money and they have all this vacation time. You know, it's been framed that these are cushy jobs, and I think now people are kind of waking up to the reality of not so much. These are people who do real hard work and that benefit all of us, and they're just like us.
Yeah, I think I think we've talked before about the media has portrayed federal workers as a bunch of people sitting around the desks who are just trying to, you know, mess with the American public. And I think what this shutdown did, especially the agencies that were affected, Border Patrol, prisons, TSA, FEMA, all of these that do the groundwork for a lot of public safety things, the FAA air traffic controller, for instance, that I just think the public realizes a little better that we're out there every day trying to make things safe here in America, and I hope people recognize that. We had a lot of public people, a lot of the public came by and thanked TSA screeners. I mean, think about that from like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And dropped off coffee and donuts to them in the mornings. I mean, things that, hand them a gift card. I mean, it was just, now they had to turn that back into their management, but these are the public out there doing that, and we really appreciated it.
Yeah, especially TSA people. I mean, I don't know anybody who doesn't give them a hard time.
No, I mean, look, nobody wants to get searched. I mean, nobody wants to go through that. But, if you think about it, when they standardized screening since 9/11, we've done pretty well. And hopefully, you know, our country never has that happen again, something like that. And I think it's TSA screeners that and officers that, you know, are keeping, you know, the airline safe, and we want that.
Yeah.
You know.
No, our friend of the show, Sarah Nelson, she's the president of the Flight Attendants Union.
She's fantastic.
She's fantastic. And, you know, yeah, she's been hammering on the fact that, you know, by having these shutdowns and this uncertainty, what you've done is you've created a really unsafe situation for the flying public and, you know, for society as a whole. Because, you know, my fear is always, you know, like you said, you know, we hope another 9/11 never happens again. But, you know, you look at the chaos that was going on, you know, that would have been kind of a moment where it could have happened.
Well, I mean, certainly when you have a 10% reduction in your workforce because they can't get to work, they're running out of money to put gas in the car, you know, those kind of things. You know, from the previous year, I think it was up like 10% as far as the call-offs. And you don't want that in a workforce that is, you know, required to make sure the public is safe. And again, a lot of people don't like to go through that process. You know, we get that.
Right.
But these things have been standardized throughout the country based on the Israeli model, based on other models. You know, this wasn't just, none of that was brought up out of thin air. And so, you know, it's very well measured and studied, and this is how they do it. So, you know, I think the public, you know, looked at that, and it was gratifying to see how many people tried to help us. It really was.
No, I'm with you. And the messaging that came out of it, and, you know, even conversations I've had with people who have always, you know, ripped on government workers, you know, going, wow, I didn't realize that they're like a paycheck or two like I am away from real trouble. So let me ask you this, because one of the things that I've been saying is we've got to stop this holding our workforce hostage. We've got to stop this making people work for free. And I got to think in some way Congress has got to move forward on, look, if you're going to shut the government down, you shut the government down. If you don't have any money to pay people, like in the private sector, they don't go to work. And if it's that dire, if it's that important of an issue, then you go to that position. I don't think we should ever allow a worker to go to work without the guarantee that they're going to get compensated at the end of the week for it.
I think that's true. There are bills in both the House and Senate that are teed up to make sure that shutdowns don't happen again if there's a disagreement on appropriations or policy. We support some of those. A couple of them are a little draconian. They would start to cut funding for agencies after like 90 days. We have a little concern with that part. But overall, you know, we want something to pass that this whole way of doing business is over with. And hopefully, you know, that'll be remembered in the House and Senate. We can get it through, and then we'll see what happens with the president signing off on it.
Yeah, I mean, because I look at this, this isn't how you run a lemonade stand, let alone the most powerful country in the world.
No, I mean, you think about a company out there that, hey, you know what, we're just going to shut down this week and not pay our people. You know, I mean, or we're going to make you stay here and work and not pay our people. You know, that's a violation of law in any other format. So,
although it does kind of sound like a Trump business.
Well, if you look at what he did in Atlantic City and other places and what he did to contractors and workers, sure, you know, you go back to that history, and I think he thought the federal government is the same thing. But, you know, fortunately, you know, I think there's members of Congress on both parties that just understand that this is just not the way to do things. That vote today out of the Senate was 83, I think 83-4 to pass that. And, you know, that's a big vote coming out of the Senate on a bipartisan basis.
Yeah, it is. So last line of questioning I've got for you. Do we expect to sign him to sign this? Because all indications are he's going to sign it, and then he's going to declare the national emergency. And if he doesn't sign it, you know, what's the recourse?
Well, if he doesn't sign it, I assume that with that vote, with an 83 vote in the Senate and a 300 vote in the House, that's 2/3. And they certainly can override any veto at that point. And I think members of Congress seem to be tired of this game with the president. And as far as the national emergency, I don't know of anybody that can declare a national emergency after 2 years of being president, having 2 years of a Republican in the Senate and not being able to pass his funding. And I just don't see the courts. I hope the courts would say this is ridiculous. I mean, because if you go back to Truman, when he tried to take over the railroads back in World War II, they told him then no. So, you know, we hope the courts will put him in check if he goes that direction.
I hope so, too. And what I've been saying is if it does, because I've been saying all along, if another shutdown happens, I'm of the mindset that every worker should walk out for a one-day strike, because I think it would just take one day. Everybody in the streets and everybody saying this is and us taking back control of our government. Just my thought.
Well, I think certainly that the unions that can do those things have been coordinated with by AFG. I can tell you that. We don't want to put our members in a situation like Patco and others, while people are telling us to take that action, like the teachers and other things. We just don't want to be the ones advocating for that sort of thing where they would be terminated from employment. We'd have to scratch their way back to get them back to work. We think that with the pressure from the other unions, we should be in pretty good shape on that type of action.
Yeah, I'm still in the mindset everyone walks out, they can't fire everybody.
I hear you, Rick, and I'll take that to my national president, see what he thinks.
well, ask Jay David to come back on the program again, and I'll bring it up to him.
I sure will.
Phil, I appreciate the time. Really good talking with you.
All right, thank you. Have a good night.
Good stuff. Phil Glover, AFGE District 3 National Vice President. Going to take a quick break right back after this. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk. A union man, brother firefighter's my friend.